From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Welcome to a live conversation between the candidates in the May 3rd special election for the 94th Wisconsin Assembly District. The seat was vacated in December when then-governor-elect Scott Walker chose longtime 94th District Representative Mike Hipsch to run the Department of Administration. Our guests on Newsmakers today include La Crosse County Board Chair and Attorney Steve Doyle, the Democrat, and Louts Custom Builders owner, Republican John Louts of West Salem. We are intending an informal discussion, answering as many questions as time allows in the next hour, including some questions that have been submitted by listeners via email. We flipped a coin before the show started, and John Louts, you will be the first to go. I'm wondering if you could just briefly describe who you are, what you do, and why you're running.
Well, thank you very much for inviting us. This should be an interesting hour. I am John Louts, and my reason for running, after talking to folks in the district and what's been going on in Madison the last few years and the hardships that I have seen within my business, what I've seen in my friends and neighbors, and what's happened with our employees, I just felt that there was we needed a change of direction in Madison, and I think that the common sense approach has been lacking in Madison, and I think what I've learned in my 28 years, going on 29th year now of being in business for myself, I can take what I've learned there to Madison, and with a common sense, conservative approach, help get that down to Madison, and maybe we can change some of the stuff that's been going on in the last few years.
All right, thank you, John. Steve Doyle.
Thanks, Maureen, and I appreciate you sponsoring this. I think this is a great idea here. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself. I've been a small business owner for 25 years. Started my own practice here in La Crosse. I grew up in La Crosse, in fact. For 25 years, I've met a payroll. I've had to live within my budget, and I've had to make tough decisions, including sometimes cutting back on things, including employees. I'm married, have a wife and two children who are in high school. I also teach two classes here at the university in the political science department, a legal class and a state and local government class. But one of the things that I felt really strongly about in my adult life is the obligation to perform public service. And immediately after graduating from law school, I ran for and was elected to the county board here in La Crosse. And, you know, local government officials are what I would call unsung heroes. These are people who put in long hours for very little pay and who simply are dedicated to making their community better. And I admired them, and I wanted to follow in the footsteps of many of the people in local government who have done that kind of dedication. And so I've served since 1986 on the county board, and in fact, in 2002, I was elected the county board chair. That has really given me some insight into, first of all, how government works and can work, but also how government sometimes doesn't work. And I think that what we've done here in La Crosse County is a model for what could be done at the state. We have kept taxes low. We are the fifth lowest per capita taxing county in the state, and that is not my number. That's a number from the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance. We have quality services. We are creative and innovative. We are collaborative in the sense that we like to work with surrounding counties, municipalities, the private sector, and the state. And that's the kind of thing that I want to take to Madison, is that inclusive, innovative type of attitude where we can work together and get things done, because we have a lot of problems that need to be solved, and the problems are so serious at this point that there's not much time for a learning curve. And I've been involved in government and learned a lot along the way. I'm ready to go.
So we'll be alternating the questions that I ask both of you. And since John Louts went first last time, Steve, we'll jump back to you.
Sure.
One of the top issues right now seems to be job creation within the state. How would you propose attracting quality jobs to the area, ones that could actually support families?
I would do that at the state the same way that we have done that at the local level here in La Crosse County. About a week or so, I will have, or the county will have, a check that we will be presenting to CenturyLink. We worked out an arrangement with CenturyLink that they agreed to maintain their regional office here in La Crosse. In exchange for a state-sponsored loan that would be passed through and supplemented by La Crosse County. And as part of that arrangement, they agreed to also increase their jobs here in La Crosse by, I believe it's several hundred, in fact. That's one example of a public-private partnership. We've done more. I got a phone call one day from Carl Brickle, who was at that time one of the co-owners of Brickle Brothers and Select Trusses. He's recently deceased, but he said, you know, we want to expand our business. We can create more jobs. We don't want to have to leave the county. Is there anything that you can do to help us? And I got together with La Crosse Area Development Corporation, CenturyLink, Xcel Energy, in the village of West Salem, and we created the Lakeview Business Park, which had simply been a concept talked about for probably 25 years, and we made that happen. That was a partnership that, again, took some change in state law to allow us to do some of the things we wanted to do. So we really were cutting edge in that respect. That type of cooperation and collaboration has created over 300 new jobs, well-paying jobs in La Crosse County. So in terms of how things can be done at the state level, same way. I keep hearing people say government doesn't create jobs. I absolutely agree with that. But government in collaboration with the private sector, there is no end to the number of jobs that you can create. I support what the governor did with the new quasi-governmental corporation for economic development, because I think that is a good way to partner with the private sector to create jobs. I want to work on those kinds of things because we've shown that we can do it if you do it right.
And John Lautz?
Well, in all honesty, I guess I would agree a lot with Steve on that. The state cannot create jobs, but the state certainly can create an atmosphere that hinders job growth. And what we have seen in the last years in the state with the increase in taxes on corporations, the regulations, the red tape that we've put corporations through, and we've kind of created an atmosphere where businesses, instead of wanting to come to Wisconsin, were looking more at leaving. I think Harley-Davidson is an excellent example of that. I think what we need to do, and the governor's already started in some of his leadership plans, is the corporate tax rate. We've got to encourage our businesses to stay here. We've got to create a climate where they can grow and add jobs. Regulations and red tape for bringing in new businesses and expanding of existing businesses has been a challenge for our businesses, and those are the types of things that we need to do in this state to keep it moving forward. Along that same line, I think one of the things that you have seen, even in the private sector, unions have stepped to the plate to help with businesses. They understand that to keep these businesses in the state, we all need to tighten our belt and work together. And it's been a real good a relationship within a lot of our businesses to stay here. And I think that's what we need to continue to do in our area to grow jobs.
And one of the email questions that we received before the show started, we got a question from Samuel who asked, what will your approach be to taxes in Wisconsin? John Lautz?
Well, the first thing I absolutely impose to is raising any taxes in this state, and not just taxes, but fees also. It seems the last year is that to balance the budget, we've raised taxes, and then we get the hidden fees in there. And I've seen it in things like building permit fees, sanitary fees. These things keep going up. So I would be totally opposed to raising any taxes. The other thing that I think we have to do, and unfortunately this means that we're going to look at and the budget as it's proposed, there's not an area of the state that isn't being looked at to have some cuts. We've got to get our budget balanced. If we can't show on a state level that we can balance a budget, that we can create a situation for businesses to come here and existing businesses to grow, we just are not going to get the job done. So that first thing is we don't raise taxes and we balance our budget. When we can get those two things done, we'll create the atmosphere to encourage businesses to come here. That will create jobs. And as we get more people working, we'll have the resources we need to keep the state moving forward.
And Steve Doyle, your approach to taxes?
I agree that this certainly is not an environment in which we can raise taxes. I wholeheartedly agree that that needs to be looked at as a last resort and not even an option at this point. If you look at what we've done in La Crosse County, as I said before, we are the fifth lowest taxing county in the state. We believe that there is always the option of coming up with a more creative way as opposed to raising taxes. We've looked at partnerships. We've looked at revamping programs to be more efficient. I'm a little disappointed that John has chosen to run an attack ad against me as his first ad after the primary, accusing me of raising fees in La Crosse County here. I think it says something like over 700 times and so forth. And the reason I say that is that that really misleads people. What we do in La Crosse County on an annual basis during budget time is we look at what is the cost to provide certain types of services, and we do an analysis for those services that are mandated by the state that relate to specific tasks that don't affect everyone. And so when we've raised fees, it's things like state-mandated inspections by the health department of hotel swimming pools, massage parlors, tattoo parlors, camping fees for out-of-state residents, septic inspections, and so forth, things that apply to a specific population. And what we do is we look at what does it exactly cost to provide that service, and that is what we charge for it. Because if we didn't do that, if we didn't charge those fees for the actual cost, then what that means is that we're going to raise property taxes. We're going to raise property taxes for people who don't get the benefit of those services. So if I don't have a hotel with a swimming pool that I own, if I don't run a tattoo parlor, I'm going to have to pay for the cost of those state-mandated inspections. And so, you know, when John says that we shouldn't raise fees, I wholeheartedly disagree. When it comes to things that the majority of property taxpayers don't get a benefit from, we should not dump those kinds of things on those on property taxpayers. My God, that is just absolutely outrageous to say that a person who gets no benefit from a particular service should have to have fees dumped on them.
You both are offered a minute each of rebuttal at the end, so I don't know if you want to rebuttal at the end and then we'll wait for that. You both have expressed in your previous conversations here at Wisconsin Public Radio the need to work together. How would you propose in breaking the polarization in Madison? Steve Doyle? You just went. He went first last time, so now it's your turn to go first.
Break the polarization in Madison? Yes. I think that that really has to be the first step. In my legal practice in the last 4 or 5 years, I've specialized in the area of mediation, which basically means you bring two people in or two groups in who perhaps don't even agree on what day of the week it is and try to find some common ground, whether it's a divorce case, a lawsuit, a personal injury, whatever the case may be. And my job has been to try to find ways to get people to understand that there may be some commonality. And I've actually become quite good at that, I believe, and I do an awful lot of that. What we need is some adult supervision in Madison where you have people who are willing to accept that both sides have something to offer. And from the very first day when I announced my candidacy, I indicated that you know, the Republicans don't have all the answers, but they're not wrong all the time either. And the Democrats don't have all the answers, but they're not wrong all the time either. What I would do starting my first day in Madison is I would go over to various Republican offices, shake hands with those people, and say, I want to work with you. And I would do the same in the Democratic offices. And I would not be a bomb thrower, but I also would not be a rubber stamp. As I said, we're in a very serious fiscal situation here. We don't have time for a learning curve. We don't have time for a rubber stamp. We need some independent thinking, and my background in local government gives me an understanding of how budgets work, an understanding of how policy and procedure works at the state level, and I could hit the ground running in trying to get people to start talking instead of screaming at each other. So from day one, that's my goal.
And John Lautz?
Well, I agree that it is the first thing that we need to address because we aren't going to solve any of our problems if we're both polarizing or staying tight to whatever party we belong to. One of the places that I think that Steve and I are very different is I believe that the 94th is independent, and I have been independent all my life. I joined the Republican Party in December when we decided to make this run. You had to get in one or the other. That's just kind of the way things are today. Running as an independent is not really a viable option. And Steve has been with the Democrat Party for a long time, and I think that's where his loyalty is going to fall. Now, my loyalty is going to fall on being fiscally conservative. That is why I am where I am, and I have been that way all my life. If that makes me more of a Republican than a Democrat, then I guess so be it. But it is working together is the first thing, and I guess I'll go back to that. Just in the private sector, in the business that I've run, we've had situations within our business, both dealing with employees, especially as we've talked to them and tried to work with them on reducing benefits, holding wages and trying to keep them, but they still have a positive attitude to keep our business going. And we have set that example by my wife and I being the first ones to give up things so that we could keep our business going, and then our employees would follow. We've dealt with customers where the work that we do, while you work very hard to lay it all out and get it specified, you're dealing with something, especially like in the remodeling where you're invading somebody's home, and you have to be very careful about what you do. And building a new house, you have to be careful and trying to get this to come out the way they see it should come out. And you run into challenges. And I always approach those that I don't want to talk about problems. I want to talk about challenges to overcome. I've told our employees that, and we work with our customers that way. Once in a while, things will come up in the job, and because of the stress that the homeowner is under, it gets a little out of hand. And I have learned that the first thing you have to do is just sit down, listen to their concerns, let them talk, and get them, everybody calmed down. And I've been able to do that, work through these issues. And I got to believe that the people we've worked for, I've considered them my friend when we're done. So we've been able to get through those issues and keep everything moving forward.
And you're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. My guests today are candidates for the 94th District Assembly seat, Democrat Steve Doyle and Republican John Lautz. John, I want to ask you the next question. Both of you, in your previous interviews here, also pledged to work for the people of the district. How will you be able to separate the wants of your constituents versus the wants of special interests?
Well, I think it shouldn't really be that hard to separate the two. The constituents, the voters in the 94th, the people that I would be working for, always will have the say. Special interests, or as it's referred to, or lobbyists, oftentimes they're the ones that they're going to present their viewpoint, and you're going to hear viewpoints on both sides. That's my job, is to hear both sides of an issue, weigh the pluses and minuses. That's what the people are electing you to do, and then consider what is best for our district. You can't always make everybody happy. I've learned that running a business, dealing with employees. You are never going to make everybody happy. But if you're in the position of leadership, sometimes you have to make a decision that isn't going to be pleasing to everybody, but you want to try to make it pleasing to as many people as possible. When I was president of Wisconsin Builders, we ran up against a lot of these issues. When you're dealing, at that time, I was dealing with 6,500 members, you're never going to make them all happy. But you have to consider what is best for the industry as a whole, the association as a whole. And one of the nicest things that I found and why I've stayed active in that is that we are dealing, while we are dealing with issues that will help our business, we understand that to keep our businesses going, we need to build safe, affordable housing in the state. We've been very active on the code issues and keeping that separate. And I think the compliment that came is when I was done doing that, dealing with 6,500 people and understanding that from a non-combustible fire two-hour firewall to a combustible two-hour firewall, and I don't want to get into defining that because people won't understand it, but special interests within our association, we're pushing it one way or the other. And you have to kind of see past that and say, what is best for the ultimate consumer, the homeowner, and to do it best for them at the most affordable price for them? Because if we don't keep housing affordable, we don't have any houses to build.
Steve Doyle, special interests versus constituents.
I would do in Madison what I have done at La Crosse County as the chair. I am the chief elected official of La Crosse County, which is a $135 million a year operation. I am a Democrat, not ashamed of that, not going to hide that. I have not run the county as a Democrat. I've run the county as a nonpartisan and a bipartisan leader. I have appointed Republicans to the county board and Republicans to county committees. By the way, I've also appointed the first Hmong person to the county board, the first disabled person to the county board. I have tried to run La Crosse County in the interest of the people of the county, and I believe that we've done a very good job. My first and only loyalty is to the people that I represent, and at this point it is La Crosse County. At the state level, it would be the 94th district. We certainly have competing pressures at the county level where you have, to some extent, some special interests or parochial interests. Sometimes we've had issues of, city versus out county, and people who fail to look at the broader picture. And I've always tried to nudge them into looking at what is best for everyone, what is in the best interest of the people we are elected to represent. And I believe that I've done a very good job in that respect because my colleagues on the board have elected me or re-elected me numerous times since 2002. And my constituents in the 28th District of La Crosse County have reelected me year after year when I've been up. So when you talk about doing those things, it's one thing to say, this is how I will do it, and talk about it theoretically. I don't need to do that. I've been doing it. For the last 25 years, I've made that balance.
And we're reaching the end of our first half hour. I'm allowing each of you a rebuttal to anything you want to say from the time here. So, Steve, if you want to go first.
I think the most important thing that I want to make in terms of a point is that with the situation that we have in Madison at this point, we have very serious issues, and we need to deal with them now. We need to go in with an understanding of what the possibilities but also what the limits are of state government. I did not just wake up one morning in the last few months and decide, I think I'm going to run for the state assembly. I have been following and watching carefully state government very closely for at least the last decade since I've been county board chair, given that the state has so much impact on what happens at the county level. I believe that I understand very clearly how the process at the state level works and how to make it work for the people. And right now it's not working for the people, and that needs to change, and it needs to change right now.
John Lautz, your rebuttal.
I think one thing I want to hit on a little bit when I was talking about taxes and fees, and I want to be clear. First off, we have worked very hard on both the local and state level within our association. We are 100% behind paying the cost of whatever expenses we put on a municipality, be it from an inspection to erosion control to impact fees. We're totally for that to pay our cost. But when I'm talking about increases in fees, it was like this last fall I went down to pull a zoning permit to put in an egress window, a fee that hadn't been charged in a long time because we haven't changed the footprint. You know, we can get into the semantics, but the thing is I paid a zoning fee of $78 to put in an egress window for some people that didn't need the egress window. They simply wanted it in their situation. And I paid $72 for a building permit. The owner was really quite upset because we saw no reason that we had to pay the fee, and it used to be just a $25 fee. Now it's a $78 fee.
And you're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up in the next half hour, the live conversation continues with Republican John Lautz and Democrat Steve Doyle, candidates for the 94th District Assembly seat. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our website at wpr.org/lacrosse.